Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And you may be seated. So what kind of story do you like? Are you the happy ending story? The one where the underdog comes back at the end of the game and wins and your team comes off with triumph? Is it the kiss of the prince? Does the slipper fit? Disney's made an awful lot of money on these stories. Or perhaps you're a little bit more of a realist. You prefer your stories to be a little more gritty, down to earth, tragedy, heartache. That's where the followers of Jesus were at. The men were all locked behind the doors, cowering, cowards. At least the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they had the courage at least to venture forth. They went at the end of the Sabbath and got the spices to do the anointing. But they weren't all together with it either, were they? Early in the morning, they go off to anoint the hero's body, their dead hero. And it's not until they get quite a far along on the journey that they realize, who's going to move the stone? And this is a rich man's grave, so history tells us it's about a 3,000-pound stone. Yeah, we got the ointment. And as they arrive, lo and behold, the stone is rolled away. They go inside, they're filled with alarm. They see a man there on the side. He's a messenger from God, we know that, an angel. And he's, don't be afraid. And then he says, he's risen, he's not here. Look at the place where you laid. And you can almost see the smirk. You can almost hear it in his voice. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. In other words, he's saying, you're looking for the dead guy, aren't you? Oh, we cannot be too hard on them, after all. Mark tells us they were there. They stood at a distance, but they saw what happened on that Friday. Bloody, and yet conducting himself with the highest of honor and character. He forgives, he opens heaven, he cares for his mother, he experiences the pain of hell. And then they heard him say, nearing the very end, they heard him say, it is finished. But you know what they heard? They heard, he is finished. And it was a very, very easy thing for them to move from that to, we are finished. They had forgotten what he had said. We know in chapter 8 of Mark, chapter 9, chapter 10, and he will be raised on the third day. Three days later, he will rise. He'll be raised on the third day. And then the angel even says he's going to go ahead and see him in Galilee, just like he told you. But you see, my friends, they know what everybody knows. This one was supposed to win. This one was supposed to go all the way. This one raised the dead. This one was the Son of God. He wasn't supposed to end this way. And you can still hear that coming from Kentucky, I think. But everything changes on that day. It isn't the way it always was anymore. You see, the women and the first followers of Jesus, they were trapped in a tragedy, and they misunderstood. They thought they were in the last move, in the last chapter. They thought they were at the end of the story. They're carrying spices. They're looking for a dead guy. And the angel sets them straight. He is risen. He isn't here. He isn't here. Well, I dare say that even the most crusty-hearted curmudgeon amongst us still has a glimmer of hope that somehow things could work out right and good at the end. That somehow there really would be the happy ending. But my friends, we're not talking about fairy tales or fables. We're not talking about Texas tall tales. Talking about history. Death has always won until this moment. Now Jesus wins. And it changes everything. The cowards, with some appearances from Jesus, they see the hands, they put a hand in the side, they eat with him, he opens their minds to the scriptures. Something happens to these cowards as they boldly go forward. Some will even die the way their Savior did. They'll call it a badge of honor that they're able to suffer. They pray for boldness so that they might indeed be able to tell the world. For you see, those happy ending stories, the ones that the hopeless romantics enjoy, the ones that give us that nice warm fuzzy feeling as we finish the story at night, but it goes away as we get into the gritty work of the next morning's tasks and vocations. But the author of those stories and the reader of those stories alike, whether they know it or not, they are just telling a facet. They are just making known that piece, that part, that reality that is buried deep inside of us, that we long for there to be an actual, real author, a real story, real sense. And that Friday and that Sunday form the anchor of this grand reality that death has not won, but Christ has triumphed. And suddenly, the way today is doesn't have to color the way I see life. You see, we understood when the women were overwhelmed by the events of that Friday because they knew that death wins at the end. But now, death doesn't win at the end. Now, instead, we have the reality, the hope, the wonder that Christ wins and that he is with us always and that he is the master of bringing heartache into triumph. He's the master of taking tragedy and turning it into renewal and recovery. He's the master of taking death and turning it into life. And so we begin to see that our lives fit into this forever story. And if you've done some traveling, some service learning in other places, as I've had opportunity in Haiti, and you watch God's people come out of their dirt-packed floors with gleaming white clothes, head into worship for a minimum of 2 hours. Just soak that in. And there, grand expressions of joy. We could tell them what they don't have, We can make a long list of what they don't have. But they have discovered what makes meaning and purpose and joy, and what they do have in their risen Savior, Jesus. No, it's not fairy tales, it's not fables, it's not Texas tall tales, it's history. You see, the women were mentioned three times at the end of Mark's gospel. Why? So that the readers and the hearers could go find those women and they could ask them the questions. Paul tells us that that Jesus appeared to Peter, that he appeared, we know, in the Emmaus Road. He appeared to 10 the first night, and then the 11 the next. Then he appeared to 500 at one time. And so the rumors that the body had been stolen, they didn't hold water anymore, because those 500 and all the rest, they were telling their parents and their grandparents, I saw Jesus, and he's alive. They were telling their children and their grandchildren, I saw Jesus, and he is alive. And if he really is alive, wouldn't it change everything? Because he is alive, it does change everything. We are living in the midst of the reality of the greatest story that others long to know is true. May the gospel realities wash over your heart and life. May it give you a renewed joy, and may God give you opportunity to share it liberally in your home, with your family, in your vocations. For my friends, guess what? Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen. Amen.